Blog Talk Radio.
CM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. CM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. CM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. 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 CM Hyman Live. CM Hyman Live. CM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show.
Real talk. Real talk.
Talk Radio Show.
Hey, welcome to the show, TM Hyman Radio Live. It is 6:01 out there on the left coast, 9:01 right here on the east coast. I'm coming to you from Tampa, Florida, and I am glad to be with you this Monday. It's April 29th, and we're up close and personal with Pastor Larry Rountree. Pastor Larry Rountree, newly installed at the new, not the old, but the new, Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Tampa, Florida, and he's stopping past to hang out with us tonight. We're going to get Jesus on. Hey, we're going to talk to the pastor about what it's like pastoring folk in this age. Church is a little different. You know, church is different. Church folk are different. People are not even going to church as much. People don't even really believe as much. How is it being a pastor? And you can actually chime in, hit us up live, and ask some questions that may help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Up close and personal, Pastor Larry Rountree. After this, we'll be right back. TM Hyman Radio Live, 9:02.
Time and time again, and when
that's reason to know. Cause we know.
T.M. Hyman Radio Live. AT's rocking with us tonight. Inside Money Monday. It's 9:05. Our special guest tonight, Pastor Larry Roundtree, newly installed at the new Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Tampa, Florida. Pastor's hanging out with us tonight. He's going to talk about his new capacity, what it's like pastoring in a technological age. Churches are doing all kind of fancy stuff these days. And he's going to talk about, you know, what it really takes to lead people and fight the devil in his own life. But first, all the way live from Charlotte, North Carolina, give it up, Madam CeeLo Boston, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon in the morning time. How do you do?
Hey, all is well. All is well. You feeling all right out there in Charlotte?
Hey, we're alive and kicking over here.
Making it do what it do. Hey, that's what it is. Hey, all the way live from Itty Bitty Plant City, it's that very hot chocolate. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Money Monday. Welcome, everyone. I am happy to be here yet again in the place that no one recognizes on the map.
Hey, Plant City. Hey, we know Plant City. Hey, they know Plant City now. I mean, we got folks listening to us all over the world. So, yeah, we make this Plant City known. Let's jump right to it. Our special guest tonight, we're up close and personal with the Honorable. Hey, I respect pastors. Larry Roundtree. Hey, thanks for stopping past, Pastor. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
Well, thank y'all for having me. I appreciate y'all letting me speak with you. I hope everybody's day is going well.
Yes, sir.
Yes, thank you. Welcome.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Welcome.
Let's jump right to it.
All right.
Man, you're newly installed. I know that Hot Chocolate attended that ceremony. What was that like?
Yes, I did.
It was a marathon, wasn't it?
It was a blessing and a marathon yet at the same time. I was not Hot Chocolate in that capacity. I was Regina attending church that day. However, the new Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church members and family opened their arms to us, and it was absolutely beautiful. They put on like you would not believe. It was incredible. I mean, from the food to the decor to just the warm family atmosphere that they have there, it's amazing.
Well, the first question I want to ask you, Pastor, is out of all of the occupations on the face of the planet, what made you want to lead us? Because we are some interesting folk to lead. What makes you want to be a pastor?
Interesting. That's a politically correct way to put it. to be quite honest, I did not want to. As a young child, I grew up in the church, and as a young boy, I did. I emulated my pastor, and that's all I could see myself doing in the future. But as I got older and kind of started to smell myself and think I was not big. Hot Chocolate can tell you I'm not that big of a guy, but bad enough to do what I wanted to do. I went off to college at Florida A&M. You didn't have to laugh that hard. Went to college at Florida A&M and got up there and got wild. I was partying every night, you know, doing everything I wanted to do. And it was very clear to me that God had a calling placed on me, and in my heart I knew that he wanted me to preach his gospel. But I didn't want to because I was having too much fun. I told him maybe when I get older and, you know, get all this worked out of me, maybe, but not right now. But if you're familiar with God, he really doesn't take our opinion into consideration when he's doing what he's doing. I heeded his call and submitted to him and began to preach the gospel. Hadn't been an easy road, but it's been so fulfilling and so rewarding. The good so extremely outweighs the difficulties. When you see lives change, when you're able to make a difference through the word of God, to see marriages restored, to see children, you know, brought back home simply through preaching God's word, is absolutely can't even, there's no words to describe how grateful I feel that God chose to use me to transmit his message to the people.
Pastor, you felt a calling while you were young. I know that God, I am familiar with God, and I know that he reveals himself to different people in different ways. How did you know that he was calling you? What were the signs? What were the emotions the actions or the lack of acting, you know, at that particular time? How did you know that you were being called?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's so different for each individual. I can tell you that it was nothing miraculous. I've heard everything from a preacher said he put two bowls of water outside and told God to freeze one and leave the other one unfrozen, and that's how he would know. And another guy said it was something written in the steam in the mirror when he got out of the shower. That didn't happen with me. It was just this inner sense of knowing. He touched my heart to a point where when I viewed my future, I could see nothing else but me preaching his gospel. And I tried. I tried my best to avoid it. But the older I got, the more it became very clear to me. Just through this indescribable tugging on my heart that his spirit was leading me to preach his gospel. So I can't point to a specific event specific time or date. It was just a knowing. I'm sorry if that doesn't really.
No, you answered. You answered. Thank you.
And I just want to kind of piggyback on what TM was talking about as far as your youth and the time frame in which you actually got the calling. At your age or your average age, and, you know, I won't tell what it is. I'll just say what it is between.
Don't tell it, shame the devil. Let me test you. Well, how old am I?
You are 34 years old.
Very good, 34.
Okay. Is that right, though, really?
Yeah, you get to keep your job.
I try to act like I don't know him outside of this TM Hyman, but, okay, I'm 34 years old. So the average young man that's your age is not consciously thinking about going and, you know, being a leader of a congregation of people who are a lot older as the base foundation of the congregation and even newer members that you're looking to, you know, offer a church home to. That's a very large calling for someone that's your age.
Yeah, and the thing about God is God does not operate according to man's standards. And that's what I love about him. When he got ready to call me, he didn't have to consult with committees and boards. He's sovereign. He does what he wants to do when he wants to, with whom he wants to. So regardless of what anybody else felt about it, at the end of the day, when the dust settles, what his will be done. There were other guys, you know, from human standards, more qualified than me, more educated, more well-connected, with more pastoral experience. But God called me to that church. And when you're doing what God has called you to do, whatever field of life you're in, if it's preaching, if it's a firefighter, if it's a radio host, if it's a teacher, then you are fulfilling your purpose in life. And regardless of how much money you make or how much notoriety you get, you reach a sense of joy and contentment because you know you're exactly where God wants you to be. And that's how I feel. I'm just delighted. I'm pleased as punch. It's not easy every day. You know, it's a church, so you're dealing with people. You got differences in attitudes and personalities, and people fall out. But at this point, I'm not the best preacher in the world. I'm not the best administrator, but I'm the best pastor for New Mount Zion in 2013.
Awesome.
God wouldn't have put me there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. It's 9:15 right now. Man, what you use is a mouthful, because when you talk about it, it's hard to lead people in the world. It's hard to lead people on the job, let alone dealing with attitudes and personalities and people who feel like at 34, you know, what you going to tell me? And I'm saying, when we come back, we're going to talk about those mentalities, those attitudes the congregation received you. But one thing you just said, you're appointed for this particular hour. We're going to talk about what time it is right now. We'll be right back. It's 9:15, TM on the Radio Live. Back in a moment.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through,
just need to testify to somebody next to him. Tell him, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. Now I'm stronger. Now I'm wiser, I'm better, so much better. I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that could declare you made it? tell your neighbor, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Tell them never could.
Talk Radio Show.
See him on live. See him on the live. See him on the live. Talk Radio Show. See him on the live. See him on the live. See him on the live. Talk Radio Show. Real talk.
Monday, TM Harmon Radio Live. Hey, thanks for rocking with us tonight. Our special guest is Pastor Larry Roundtree. If you want to join the conversation and ask the pastor some questions that may assist you on your journey with Jesus Christ, hit us up, 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. It is TM Harmon Radio Live. Hey, one thing that I constantly ask God is that whole grant me that serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's something that is like embedded, and that's something that I constantly ask and just get serious. Because when you talk about leadership and the brother, you know, Pastor Roundtree, you know, 34 years old, you know, he's newly installed, kind of stepped out, you know, in the line of fire in 2013. You know, he just stepped into the line of fire.
Yeah.
You know,
second time, too, because this is his second church.
Oh, man. And this is not the first time. Pastor.
No.
Pastor, being a young dude, what was the transition like? How were you received? Let's go back to the first church. How were you received?
Okay.
At the first church, because you were even younger.
I was freshly 30 when I was called to the first church. And to be quite honest, I was very surprised with the acceptance that I received there. When the calling of God is on your life, it's evident to godly people. And it's not so much that they were submitting to 30-year-old Larry Roundtree as much as they were submitting to God's Spirit as he worked through 30-year-old Larry Roundtree. So it's not so much that you respect me. I'm just a man. I'm subject to sin just like everybody else. I make bad decisions. I forget to call people back. I get upset and I won't go there. But I'm imperfect. So what happens is, what God does is he uses imperfect vessels to carry his perfect word. And what people recognize is when you're sincere about serving him, they will respect who you're related to, who you represent, and then you get that respect. So, you know, of course you got some people, they hey, boy, oh, my son older than you. Oh, so cute. You know, you get all that. But I take it in stride because, you know, if you can't love the people you pastor, or you can't love anything that you're doing, you shouldn't be doing it. And it's going to come with its bitters and its sweets. But the reward in the end, it makes all of that worth it. So as a young guy, you know, I bring to the table a fresh perspective. I call myself a traditional contemporary preacher. I can go back to the Mighty Clouds or pull out the hymn book and sing a hymn, or we can pull out some Kirk Franklin or Marvin Sapp, like y'all tried to mess me up in commercial. I'm not happy about that. How you can put Marvin Sapp on and expect me not to preach after that? Y'all wrong. Y'all after this interview.
I
know they didn't put Marvin on.
I set up this song list for you, Pastor. That's not right now.
Okay, that's a mess. Now I'm supposed to be preaching right now. But anyway, but you know, it comes with its challenges, but it's awesome. The older members at New Mount Zion, God's just been very favorable to me. Even at New Mount Zion, the older members, they're very loving. And I'm also humble enough to know I don't know everything. And I think a lot of young preachers come into this thing thinking I have to act like I got all the answers so they'll respect me. And they have this arrogance about them. I hate it because I need help. I need, you know, that mother who's been at the church for 60 years, she got a word for me, as well as the 12-year-old who's struggling with FCAT. All these people can feed into me as I feed into them. But if I have the big head thinking, you can't tell me anything. I missed out on so much wisdom and so much help that I could have gotten from the people that I pastored.
Yeah. The process that actually allowed you to transition into that position, did the previous pastor, you know, move? Did he pass away, he or she? How did you transition to this position?
Well, I was pastoring the church where I was. It was in a rural place over in East Polk County. Somebody had told me that the pastor over here in Tampa had taken ill. And based on his illness, he voluntarily resigned after 17 years of faithful service. I really appreciate the service that he rendered because he paved the trail for me. But when they told me, I was like, okay, I'll be praying for him, but I didn't think any more about it. But somebody else said, hey, have you ever considered going over to Tampa? I said, absolutely not. I'm happy where I am. I'm good. They said, maybe you need to pray about it. So I kind of hesitantly, half-heartedly prayed about it. But after I did, it became evident to me that God was saying, you've done all I've called you to do here. It's time for me to take you somewhere else. So in the Baptist church, it's a congregation-led church. So that means majority dictates what happens in the Baptist church. So there's no bishop that comes in and says, okay, I want to put this guy in. The congregation votes, and wherever the majority goes, that's who's called as pastor. So the hope is that the church has submitted themselves in prayer and asked that God send them not the most popular guy, not the guy who entertained them the best, but the guy who God wants to pastor them. So it was a long process. It was about 7 or 8 months. And then the church met on a Friday night in January, and when they submitted their votes, I think they did private ballot. They wrote their names down. The Lord so had it that I received the majority of the votes. So they placed a call to me and offered and said that that's how they had moved, and I accepted.
Tell me what the Lord can't do.
I'm telling you.
Amen.
Man. You're talking about, you know, the Cinderella story? I'm Cinderella. Nobody expected me to be pastor here. They were
I'm gonna call you Cinderella pastor.
I can't do that. I appreciate that. Thank you for looking out for me.
That was actually the theme of his installation. God did it.
God did it. I can't take credit because, you know, he put his favor on me. All I did was I stood in that pulpit and I preached his word. And he did the rest. He endeared me in the hearts of the people and showed them very clearly, this is who I want here. This is my man. And they obeyed.
Awesome. Awesome. But we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Pastor Larry Rattletree. It's a 928 Team Hama Radio Live. Up close and personal.
Yeah. Please listen carefully.
I gotta get it, gotta get it, gotta get my stuff together.
TM Hyman Radio Live. That was Twin Spirits, Get Myself Together. And, yeah, look, we are up and close with Pastor Larry Roundtree. Thank you again, Pastor, for joining us and being an inspiration. I know, you know, what you shared this evening is touching more than one person that listens to us. You know, we are worldwide, so I know you touched some hearts tonight.
I got another question for you, Paz. I got like several. I mean, I am a leader, you know, in my church as well.
Okay.
I am not the pastor, but I support the pastor, and I work in a capacity that works really close with him. So I understand the behind the scenes, which most people really don't understand. You know, so.
Right.
You know, my question to you is, as a young pastor, you know, what is your focus to ensure that your congregation and church is growing and is moving forward and is progressive, which is somewhat contrary, unfortunately, you know, to what's really happening in the body of Christ right now. I mean, there's churches closing their doors on a weekly basis. It's a downward
right.
spiral. For a lot of congregations right now, you know, what's your focus and what's your formula?
Well, C.H. Spurgeon, he was a famous preacher back in London in the 1800s, said, good preacher always has his Bible open and always has the newspaper open. You have to know what's going on in the world that the members live in. The Bible is relevant, and it has to be applicable when you preach it. Everybody knows about Moses and the burning bush, but people want to know, how is that going to help me when I go to work on Monday with people who don't like me? People need to know how to live, how the Bible applies to their lives. So when you and it does, all you have to do is preach it the right way. So when the Bible is relevant to people, they understand how God is there to be with them and to assist them, and he cares even in their darkest moments. That's all people want. People want encouragement. They want hope. They want to know that they're loved. And then you also have to understand that although you don't ever change the message of the Bible, you change the method that you reach people. The stuff we did back in 1965, it ain't working no more. People are not just coming to church because there's nothing else to do on Sunday. People
That's
can
right.
be getting pedicures, going to the mall, playing around the golf, watching a movie. So what young people now are looking at is, why should I sacrifice to go to church? So you have to meet them where they are. They're on Facebook, they're on Twitter, they're on Instagram, they're on social media. And if you don't have a presence out there, they don't know you exist, and they really don't care that you exist. Now, when they get in the church, they have to be overwhelmed and overly impacted by love. We got to show these young people and everybody, really, that we love you. You may have white powder still on your nose. You may have just snorted a line, but guess what? I love you. You may have beer on your breath. You may be walking in looking a hot ghetto mess, but bring your hot ghetto mess self right in this church. We're going to love on you. We're going to help you. We're going to be there for you. And when God gets ready, you're going to be able to go back out and help somebody who was in the same position you were in. So when we take up all this pomp and circumstance and all this over traditionalism and realize this is about putting people in touch with God, then we'll reach them and we won't have to close our doors.
Yeah, amen, amen. You can also feel free to come in and be a hot suburban mess too.
Yeah, we messes all over the place. It's not confined to one geographical area.
No doubt. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's love. And you have to get on people's level. Too many pastors are trying to, you know, make people get on their level. When in fact, you have to get on our level, come down to where we are. Another thing you said that I think is bottom line for church today, it's about relevance. You have to be relevant. Church needs to become relevant. I could be out playing basketball. I could be watching, you know, at home watching Netflix. You know, I could be, you know, working, making money. you know, what, why is it relevant, you know, for me to come and hear you talk about this man named Jesus?
Right.
And we have to do a better job of making Jesus relevant by practical living and practical understanding. So, again, Pastor, I commend you. If you've just tuned in, it's 9:37. Here on the East Coast, 6:37 on the West Coast. We are hanging out up close and personal with Pastor. This is like real interesting to me, Pastor Roundtree. Pastor Roundtree, ladies and gentlemen, again, is only 34 years old. He's been not just ministering, but he's been pastoring since he was 30. Pastor, if you were not a pastor, what would you be?
Wow. I've been told by several people, I hope they were telling me the truth, that I missed my calling. They said I should have been a comedian. And Lord knows I would have made a lot more money than I'm making. But I'm not in it for money.
But wait, let me stop you right there, because our listeners may not know that Pastor Roundtree's wife is Mama Mia, the comedian
We
had on our show a few weeks ago.
Now, I
think that they would make a very interesting husband and wife comedic team. I think that would be very, very good.
Yeah, see, I don't think we'll do well on stage because I don't know how preachery I would sound when we get into it. That kind of stuff is left for, you know.
Did he just make up a word? Did he just make up a word on this?
He did.
Point that.
I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm allowed.
Preachery. If Mary J. can have a dancery,
no,
he can have preachery.
Right. No iteration
okay.
in here, Pastor.
All right. Yes. Y'all heard Jesse. Y'all heard Jesse and Al. They make up words every
day. The proper gandification. Yeah.
No doubt.
Yes. Okay, so I would like to know. Oh, no, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I've always been a business-minded person, so if I was not preaching, I'd work at Publix during the day. My focus would probably be on ascending that corporate ladder as high as I could. But that's not my heart. I do that because I have a family. I need to provide for my family. But my heart is preaching and pastoring. So I can't even imagine my life not pastoring people. I can't. I can say this is what I would do, but I can't imagine happiness anywhere else.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, I just wanted to know what was your most difficult struggle in actually answering your calling to come and preach and to pastor, you know, as many churches as God calls you to do, because to me, someone who can come to a church that doesn't have a leader or whose leader is ill and be able to fill those shoes, which are extremely big shoes to fill for, mm-hmm. you know, a man as young as you are, coming from, you know, at least your first inaugural church was in your county per se. So there was still, you know, some chance of, you know, your local people coming to be able to come and support you. Now, geographically, coming to Tampa is a little bit different, and you know that's kind of like a dive out into the deep end for you when you think about support and just feeling comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be honest, I was absolutely terrified because who feels qualified to spiritually lead Christians? You know, I felt terribly underqualified for the role. I felt like nobody would listen to me. I was young, and I just didn't meet the. I didn't fit the natural image of a preacher to me. You know, Regina knows anyway that I'm short of stature. So I'm, you know, to look at me, I don't look preacher like you know, T.D. Jakes, and it just didn't fit for me. But God, once again, I know I keep going back and reiterating the same thing. But when God says yes, the whole world can say no. And he's going to move.
Amen.
And he'll make it happen. So he's just stood me on the rock. And over time, even the doubters and the naysayers over time, God makes it very evident, this is my man. And either you on the train or you need to change station, because this train is moving ahead.
Yeah, yeah. You talk about the doubters and the naysayers, which I think is a great transition into my next question. So we're going to take a break and come back. But I want you to answer this question on the other side of this, because there's always those skeptics. And, you know, there's folks that feel like, you know, people are at home listening, and I know they're going to want, they're saying to themselves, you know, he's in it for the money. Mm-hmm. All those preachers do is they want to take your money. So yeah, when we come back, we're going to talk about y'all preachers and all how right. y'all just want to focus on our money. We'll be right back. See them on the radio live.
All right.
Hello, fear.
See him high and live. See him high and live.
Yep, real talk. It's 9:47. We're hanging out up close and personal this evening with our special guest, Pastor Roundtree. This has been an awesome conversation. Folks, if you want to tune in, get in here live, 917-889-3926. We're open for your questions. Got a few minutes left in the show. Again, 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Pastor.
Yes.
You know that money question is always lurking. I was raised in church. I know mm-hmm. church. I know that it takes money to run a church. Again, I don't know how people think, you know, that the power, you know, the power is on and the water is running. Jesus is our everything, and he is
yeah.
all-powerful. But I don't think that if the water is turned off, I don't think Jesus is going to turn it back on. Because
no.
He's not going to come down and do anything he's empowered us to do, and that's work.
Right, right.
When it comes to money, and those folks who, you know, say pastors and preachers are all about money, how do you respond to that?
It's very disheartening. And the most disheartening part about it is a part of that is true. There are some preachers out there, and I use that word very loosely, that their motivation to do what they do is simply to fill their pockets. And instead of feeding the sheep, they're shearing the sheep. Here's what God says about pay and money as relates to his church and about the preacher. It says that the ox is you shouldn't muzzle the ox while he treads corn, which literally translated means if an ox is out there plowing the field, he should be able to eat some of the stuff that he's plowing because he's working. However, he shouldn't be eating the whole field. And what's going on with a lot of preachers is they hunger and their whole motivation is greed. They want money, 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 money. In fact, the Bible talks about these people. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, beware of these men whose God is their belly. And they think that godliness is gain. But it says, if you have food and raiment or food and clothing, you should be content. So here's my thing. I believe God can supply all of my needs according to his riches through whatever avenue he chooses to do so. I believe that if a pastor works full-time at that church and he is a genuine servant of God, God will provide for him through that church. However, when a pastor is prospering at the expense of his church, God is not pleased with that. I have a problem. I have a problem with, I'm about to get controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway. I have a problem with this prosperity gospel that says that if you are a Christian, then you're supposed to be rich, you never get sick, and all this kind of stuff, and they're telling you to sow $1,000 seed, and people sending in their rent money, and here you are driving a Bugatti, and you got members up here trying to catch a ride on the bus, but there's no consideration about that. So, and what has happened is those guys get all the publicity. So you see the pastors in the Benz and the Rolls and the Bentley. But what they don't publicize is that preacher who's been at his church for 47 years and mm-hmm. has had to live hand to mouth every day, trusting God, and has been a servant of the people. So what happens, you get that one image that they show, you know, on Players Club of the preacher, and that's how you stereotype every guy who says that I'm a preacher. Oh, where your Cadillac? Oh, where your Gators? You know.
Right.
It's not a sin to be prosperous, but it's a sin to be prosperous at the expense of living a godly life. So if a preacher is making good money, great, great. If you got 10,000 members and you live in a big house around the lake, do your thing and give God the glory. But if another preacher pastoring five people and living in a one-bedroom apartment with his three children, you know what? He's just as important in the kingdom of God as T.D. Jakes or Creflo Dollar or Eddie Long is. So you just have to understand
you know
that
what?
God uses people differently.
No, absolutely. And you know, you went there, and since you said you were about to get controversial, I'm going to just go ahead and just make it controversial. And since you said, you said Eddie Long. So my question is this: you know, where should the church stand as it relates to politics? Period. Even with things like, you know, this has nothing to do with Eddie Long, but you just, you know, I'm thinking in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Even like with same-sex marriage, because that is so big and the church, you know, seems to be all up in the president's decision over same-sex marriage, should the church be involved in politics?
The Bible calls on us to be citizens and obey the rule that is over us. My personal stand on that is the church's job and influence is never to be on Capitol Hill, because Capitol Hill has never changed one heart. Capitol Hill's, Washington's job is to write laws, but you can't write morality. You can't legislate Christianity. My job as a preacher is to touch the hearts of man. So what they're doing on Capitol Hill really doesn't concern me, because what has been accomplished and what's going to perpetuate is what happened on Calvary's Hill. Now I'm finna preach. You asked me, so I'm finna preach. Jesus paid for every sin debt that every man would ever incur when he died on the cross. And if I translate that message to homosexuals, to anybody, then that's a message of love. Now, I'm going there. I personally believe the Bible teaches against homosexuality. However, I love homosexuals. We've taken this hard stance, all gay people going to hell. What about the liar that's sitting on the front pew?
Right.
What about these other people who are doing their other stuff? So here's the thing. Jesus never drew anybody by condemnation. He drew them by love. So I hate sin, but I love the sinner. So you come in this church, and if you are living in a lifestyle that I don't agree with, I don't have the right to condemn anybody. I got my own stuff. The only one who can judge is he who is perfect, and that name is not Roundtree. His name is Jesus Christ. So in spite of that, you know, I know abortion and same-sex marriage and all this kind of stuff that's going on, and we protesting up in Washington. I ain't got time for that. There's people dying right across the street from my church. I need to minister to this crackhead. You handle Washington. I'll handle who God calls me to make an impact in their life.
Yeah, definitely. Pastor Brown, she said he got bronchitis. He don't got time for that.
He ain't got
anybody
time
got time for that.
That.
The smoke got me.
I'm going to get a cold pop, Lord Jesus. I ain't putting no shoes.
Yeah, listen, if you come to New Mount Zion at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, you may look around and say, "Oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire."
Now see, I went to the early service with my mama at 7:55, so you know it was the elders there, and you know we had our church, and we was out before Sunday school at 9:30. However, he is right. Now, in the area where his church is located, do not let that deter you, because everybody needs Jesus, no matter if it's in the hood or in the suburbs. Now,
That's right.
With that being said, you may see something that makes you say, "Lord Jesus is the fire," but turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, we here anyway." Amen.
Amen. Amen. I mean, the reality is we have all fallen short. And you know, as we wrap up this show tonight, Pastor, I just want to say I appreciate, you know, all that, you know, you do for the people in your community. And I think for the overall kingdom.
Thank you.
You know, when you talk about a call, the reality is we are all called to do something.
Absolutely.
He's speaking to all of us. The difference in people's lives is the fact that, you know, some of us, you know, we've turned the volume down.
Mm-hmm.
We've turned the volume down, you know, through the distractions in our lives or the things that we've allowed to distract us. It's
right.
Time to get it back on track, folks, and get in the word and get connected to a local church house or somebody, you know, because the reality is, you know, you should sometimes you got to shop around. To shop mm-hmm. around doesn't mean to church hop, because
right.
you gotta you know, find somebody, because everybody ain't bad. Find somebody that's
no.
good, that's a good fit for you and how you learn and how you understand. And then guess what? Plant there. Plant and
yes.
spread out, you know, when you find good ground. It sounds like Pastor Larry Roundtree, the folks over there at New Mount Zion, has someone who cares about them, who's focused on the Word of God, because way too many preachers add their isms and kind of twist
yes.
The Word. But it sounds like you're grounded and rooted. And again, thank you and congratulations.
Thank you.
Ladies, any last-minute questions, concerns, comments?
I just want to thank Pastor Roundtree again for coming on the show. It's a pleasure. You and Mama Mia are always, always welcome here on the show with us.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Mama Mia.
I enjoyed this time.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Pastor.
I was just saying I thoroughly enjoyed this time. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me. And if I can leave anything, I just want to let all your listeners know, regardless of what you've done, regardless of how bad you think you are, no matter how lonely you feel, how bad the pain is, remember always you have a God that loved you so much that he sent his son, his best, to die in your place that you could spend eternity with him. And all you have to do is accept him in your heart. You don't need the approval of a preacher, of a deacon, of a musician. It's between you and your God. So you be encouraged. Don't let life weigh you down. Remember that you always have somebody on your side, and your life is worth living. Don't give up on it. God will show up, and he will deliver you from whatever it is that is causing you to cry yourself to sleep at night. God cares. He loves you.
Amen.
Amen. TM High Radio Live.
Y'all taking up offering?
Hey, we need to.
We got you, Pastor. We got you, Pastor. And let the church say amen.
Amen. Hey.
May the Lord watch between me and thee.
Oh, while we depart one from another. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Y'all have a good night.
Good night.
We'll see you Wednesday.
Everyone.
TM Hyman Radio Live.
Y'all be
good.
TM Hyman Live. TM Hyman Live. TM Hyman Live.